Hello friends, this is Brian Simmons, and the topic for today's discussion is the raising up of Adam's race. I'll take as my text this morning Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now in this verse, which has been oftentimes given many different and various interpretations by commentators, in this verse Christ is saying quite clearly that his apostles, these holy apostles whom he was addressing, will be rewarded for their sufferings in this life in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on the throne of David, which is also called the throne of glory. Now, why is Christ referring to this administration as the regeneration? For that he is speaking of an administration is pretty clear, I think. In fact, if we look at this word regeneration, we'll see that it only occurs once elsewhere in the scriptures. And that is in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, which it will do us well to look at. For it may give us a hint as to the meaning of the word regeneration in Matthew chapter 19. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Here, in this verse, Paul is speaking of individual salvation. He is speaking evidently of the quickening of the soul, dead in trespasses and sins, by the power of Jesus Christ's resurrection life. And of course, the blood shedding of the Son of God, the sacrifice that he offered to the world for remission of sins, and his subsequent raising from the dead and ascension into heaven and enthronement at the right hand of the Father brought about this quickening work which we receive through the Holy Spirit. So, in Titus, Paul is speaking of an individual regeneration. But you know, that's not what Christ is speaking about in Matthew chapter 19, is it? No, Christ is speaking of this regeneration as an economy or a dispensation. Obviously, when we look at this, we'll see that he is referring to a regeneration as a period of time or an epoch in the world's history during which his suffering apostles and disciples will be rewarded and will be promoted to honor. For he says in verse 29, And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So this regeneration, which Christ is speaking in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, is a period at which the apostles and the disciples, presumably, will be rewarded for their sufferings in this present evil world. And so, what relation, we ask, does this have with Titus chapter 3, verse 5? Is there any analogy between the two? Is there any connection between these two usages of the same word, and do they mean something similar? Well, frankly, I believe that they do. And I believe that the regeneration is none other than the millennium, and that this will be the period, the age, during which humanity as a whole will be regenerated, so to speak. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be any lost people in the millennium. I do not mean to imply that, nor do I mean to imply that that humanity as a whole will be saved at this time. I only, my main argument is that as the individual experiences a regeneration through the quickening of the Holy Spirit, so humanity will receive somewhat of a regeneration through the manifestation of the sons of God, which will be as the spiritual principle infused into an unregenerate world. And for the world is certainly unregenerate at this present time. It is as a body which has a soul, of course, the soul being the people of God, but it yet has no spirit. And this brings us back to recall our previous walk when we were dead in trespasses and sins, how that we had a body and we had a soul, and yet our soul served our body. We had no spiritual principle in us, but we had no life in us. And yet when we heard the word of the gospel and we felt that mighty power quicken us, we knew that a new principle had been imparted to us through the power of Jesus Christ's risen life. And so a perfect man, that the Christian who has been regenerated, who has been quickened, and who has been lifted from the degradation of the old Adam and seated with Christ in heavenly places, he has been given a new nature. The perfect man is composed of body, soul, and spirit. Whereas the regular man, the fallen man, has body and a soul, but no spirit. And so regeneration is that period, is that that point at which the spiritual quickening is affected. It is a regeneration of the individual. But, my friends, may we not also take the same principle and apply it to humanity as a whole? For we know that the Gentiles are as the body. They are earthy of the earth. They know very little of the things of God, and yet a spiritual principle of a sort has also been added to mankind, and that is the people of God. I suppose this spiritual people of God functions as the soul. However, it in itself has not been fully redeemed. For instance, the church may act as the soul to the body, which is the Gentile world. However, we know from Romans chapter 8 and from other places in the New Testament scriptures that we ourselves are awaiting a higher level of glory, a higher promotion than we currently have. Well, you ask, well, how can we obtain a higher promotion? We are seated, as Paul says, with Christ in heavenly places. How can we be raised any higher than that? And our answer is, of course, that, well, as man is composed of soul and body, and Jesus Christ comes to save the entire man, well, so we must, eventually, in the course of things, and before God's redemptive work is fully consummated on earth, we must be raised in both of our component parts. And we know that our inner man is raised by regeneration, but our outer man, well, that will be raised in resurrection. And in Romans chapter 8, we have this concept brought out somewhat for us. In verse 10 it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." You see, there is that spiritual principle that gives us life. It raises the inner man, not the outer man, because while this work is going on in us, the body is dead. But then in verse 11, Paul writes, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." So, what this means is that the same body which is presently dead will be quickened. And of course, this happens during the resurrection. And this is the higher level of glory to which we hope to attain. So we see that while the church in the present dispensation acts as a soul to enlighten the body, so to speak, the church is sent to shine light to the Gentiles. We also know that our own perfection awaits a future time. But when we are promoted to this perfection, the new spiritual principle will come into play. And this is given out in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. We'll read on from there. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Well, there you have it. That is a spiritual principle which will regenerate the world. It is the saints in glory. And judging from other scriptures which speak of eschatology and the coming of the Lord and our rapture into the air and subsequent seating in the New Jerusalem, we know that when the New Jerusalem comes down to earth, it will be set above the earth, above the millennial Jerusalem, and it will constitute that spiritual element which the world is now missing. And it will act upon the soul as the soul acts upon the body, I suppose. The soul will be the regenerated nation of Israel during the millennium. It will replace the church of the present dispensation, while the church of the present dispensation is promoted to a higher level of glory. And of course, this this dual promotion, so to speak, will raise the state and quality of the body itself, being the Gentile nations. And so the whole race of Adam will be promoted, it will be raised, and it will be quickened, so to speak. And this motif, I think, is brought out in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, where Christ says, "In the regeneration, when the Son of Man sitteth on the throne of His glory." You see, the regeneration must correspond somewhat, I think, in this passage, to Titus chapter 3. Titus is speaking of something individual, as we've already said. But here Christ is speaking of something that must be corporate. It must be larger and broader in scope than any mere individual redemption. And so, body, soul, and spirit. I think that is pretty much the way to look at it. For in an individual work of regeneration, we obtain a new spiritual element, and we become a perfect man, body, soul, and spirit. Not a yet redeemed man, not perfectly redeemed, for we still await our resurrection. And of course, everybody knows it in the millennium, which corresponds to the seventh day, that there will be no perfection. But it will be as a personal regeneration is with us. It will be a raising of the particular subject, whether it be an individual or the entire human race, to a higher level. It will be a quickening of that which is currently dead in trespasses and sins. And I think we all know that the human race is dead in trespasses and sins. However, the creation is groaning and travailing right now as we speak, and waiting as Paul says, for the manifestation of the sons of God. What an amazing concept. Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It is in its birth pangs. And we know that the sons of God must include ourselves, the saints. Paul even says that the saints will rule the world. Isn't that wonderful? To think that we who are oppressed and downtrodden and oftentimes dishonored here will one day be promoted to such a level of glory that we shall reign with Jesus Christ over the world. Unbelievable. Now, dear friends, it's a thought which is oftentimes too sublime for me to even think about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul writes, "Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Once more, Paul, just like his master, Jesus Christ, is contrasting the Christian walk in this life with the power, glory, and promotion which will occur in the life to come, or in the worlds to come, which is the millennium. He is contrasting these two states of our being, and he is teaching us how we must walk in this life if we would enter into the glory of the life to come. Now, I think Christ is saying the same thing essentially in Matthew chapter 19, when he implies that loss will be sustained in this world, but then in the world to come, in the regeneration, there will be a greater promotion to glory than we can even imagine. And yet this promotion, which we will enjoy and of which we will partake, will redound to the glory of the whole human race. It will redound to the benefit of the human race, for it will be the regeneration, it will be a quickening, it will be a raising up of Adam's race to a better level, to a better state than the world has ever seen. And I imagine that this whole concept of the regeneration, when we look at it in this guise as analogous to a personal and individual regeneration, and see that the perfect man has come about when this is fulfilled, the perfect man composed of both spirit, new spiritual principle, and soul and body, will be in a better condition than he was in before. So this groaning and travail, this waiting to be delivered, when this comes about, and when the saints who shall judge the world are promoted to a higher level of glory, and are given judgeship and kingship over the present creation. And the Jews are regenerated and restored to their own land, and made head over all the nations, and then will the race of Adam obtain a perfect manhood in the regeneration.